I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, April 20th. A man is facing multiple charges in connection with that Quincy home invasion in which multiple people were stabbed and gunshots were fired. Quincy police announced yesterday that Michael Campbell was found and arrested in Boston by Quincy detectives who had assistance from the State Police Violent Fugitive Apprehension Section. The home invasion happened about 8:40 Sunday night at a home in the 400 block of Granite Street near the intersection of Center Street. Callers told police that gunshots were fired during the invasion and that people inside the home had been stabbed. Responding officers found four people inside the home, three of whom were injured. Detectives were able to determine that multiple people were stabbed during the home invasion, but none of the victims were shot. Quincy police, however, did not specify how many of the three injured people suffered stab wounds. Quincy firefighters, Brewster ambulance crews rendered aid to the victims, transported them to area hospitals. Police said all of the victims suffered non-life-threatening injuries and have since been released from hospital care. The initial investigation suggests that the home was invaded, was specifically targeted, and that there is no continued threat to the area. Campbell remains in police custody and will be arraigned today in Quincy District Court on charges of home invasion, armed assault to murder, second offense of carrying a loaded firearm without a license, second offense carrying a firearm without a license, subsequent offense of carrying a firearm without an FID card, discharging a firearm within 500 feet of a building, and possession of ammunition without an FID card. Cohasset murder suspect Brian Walsh was back in court yesterday for a virtual hearing. Walsh is accused of killing his wife, Anna, in the early hours of New Year's Day, but he was in court for a separate issue related to his deceased father's will and estate. Relatives have accused Walsh of stealing money and items from the estate of Dr. Thomas Walsh, who died in 2018. The hearing had been scheduled to go over logistics for an upcoming trial, but Walsh's lawyer withdrew from the case in March, a fact that seemed to surprise Walsh. Relatives allege that Walsh went into his father's Hull home and destroyed his will, and then proceeded to sell his father's art, rugs, jewelry, and a car, and that he was attempting to sell the home as well. The accusations are playing out in Plymouth County Probate Court, where for years other relatives tried to force Walsh to file an account of the assets he took. The probate matter is scheduled for a trial in November. That matter may be the least of Walsh's concerns. He's expected to be arraigned next week in Norfolk County Superior Court, nearly a month after he was indicted for the murder of his wife, misleading a police investigation, obstruction of justice, and improper conveyance of a body. The disappearance of Anna Walsh on New Year's Day became an international story. Her body has never been found, but Brian Walsh is charged with murdering and dismembering her, as well as misleading police. DNA evidence and some of Anna's personal items were discovered at a transfer station in Peabody. Two knives and blood were also found in the basement of the couple's Cohasset home. Yesterday's hearing marks the first time Walsh was seen appearing in court since a February status hearing in the murder case. Police officers and firefighters held large-scale active shooter training drills in Kingston yesterday. It was as close to the real thing as first responders from the South Shore could get. Kingston police and fire departments are running large-scale training events for the first time, turning the halls of the Silver Lake Regional High School into a scene from a mass shooting while students are on vacation this week. Running drills in teams with simulation guns, learning to narrow in on a mock shooter and treating students with fake blood and mock injuries through the halls. First responders from several surrounding towns, including Braintree, Duxbury, Halifax, Hanson, and Plymouth, joined in on the training, which proved to be a big advantage. They're learning from recent mass shootings and want to give families in the community a sense of reassurance. Other news today, Federal regulators have told new MBTA general manager Philip Eng that unsafe conditions are putting workers' lives in danger. Although the T has been under the watch of the Federal Transit Authority for months, the FTA is now furthering the pressure on the T after a rash of close calls involving workplace safety. According to a letter sent to Eng between March 13th and 24th, the T experienced three near misses involving trains and workers. The letter also says that despite an effort to reinforce safety rules, a fourth near miss occurred on April 7th and another on April 13th, when an employee was seriously injured while working in a right-of-way location. The next day, the T experienced its fifth right-of-way near miss in just over a month. Because of the rash of incidents, the FTA alleges the T uses unsafe practices that risk injuries or the lives of employees. Starting today, the FTA will prohibit right-of-way access until the T can provide documentation guaranteeing the safety of work crews. Interfaith Social Services of Quincy recently elected new officers and voted in new board members to their board of directors. Board member Jay Marvin of Hingham was elected president for a two-year term ending in 2024. Marvin is retired after working as group vice president of global transformation at Sodexo and has partnered with Interfaith as a volunteer and board member since 2014. Marvin was the cross-divisional vice president of growth and marketing in the U.S. for many years previous to his global role. He traveled and worked in many countries, but spent a considerable amount of time in France. He also served on the board of Sodexo's Stop Hunger organization. Prior to joining Interfaith's board, Marvin volunteered in a variety of capacities within the organization. He volunteered with Interfaith's food rescue program, collecting thousands of pounds of food every day from area supermarkets, and served in Interfaith's food pantry, distributing food to clients. The experience gave Marvin a comprehensive perspective of Interfaith's operations. During his term, he hopes to make progress on long-range planning, with a focus on funding and maintaining the effectiveness of the organization's strategic plan. One of his main goals is to ensure that Interfaith programs continue to meet the changing needs and desires of clients. Interfaith's board has also voted in three new members for 2023, Bill Blackmer, Roberta Ferguson-Gregg, and Maddie Gaber. A check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 79 points. The NASDAQ rose 3. The S&P fell just a fraction. Shares were mostly lower in Asia. The dollar fell. The euro rose. Oil is $78 a barrel. Sports: Bruins drop one to the Panthers, 6-3. And Game 3 of the playoff series moves to Florida tomorrow night at 7:30. Twins beat the Red Sox 10-4. They'll wrap up that series at 1:35 at Fenway Park today. Today's forecast from the National Weather Service: partly cloudy, a high of 64 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, a low 39. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, with a high of 70. Cloudy, 60 degrees for Saturday. Showers on Sunday with highs 60 degrees. For the boater, waves about 2 feet, northwest wind with 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 20 at times. High tide, 12:23 p.m. Sunrise, 5:55, set 7:30. Reminder, one-day delay, curbside collection, trash and recycling all this week in Quincy due to the Patriots Day holiday back on Monday. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, April 20th.